Let us talk a little Bruins hockey. To do that, we turn to Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. You know, enjoying the day after the big football game last night. Did you watch?
I did. Yeah, it's always a tough spot on the schedule, you know, because after this, it's kind of, okay, now we're in the dog days before, you know, in between the Super Bowl and the start of the playoffs, the NBA, the NHL. So things should ramp up a little bit here, but I did watch it last night. I couldn't believe how they allowed that game to end. That's nice that Bradberry took responsibility, I suppose, for the holding. I still want to see, you know, a classic become and finish a classic versus being a classic for 58 minutes. So I hated that call personally. I want to see the team decide the game. Fortunately, I feel like we didn't get that last night.
No, and that seems to be the way things work in the National Football League, that whenever it gets tight, college football too, for that matter, you get down to the last 2 minutes, and the officials apparently want to be the story, because I watched, well, however many replays they showed last night, it sure didn't look like much of a hold to me, especially given that point in the game.
Yeah, and also, I don't think that, you know, the receiver is catching that ball, even if he's not, quote-unquote, held. So I just feel like common sense should have prevailed there. It didn't. And now I'm sitting here wondering, okay, how deep into bed should the NFL be with gambling at this point? Because a lot of weird calls lately, but that's just a conspiracy theory tinfoil hat that I'm wearing today. But sometimes it fits.
Oh, there's no question about that. Well, let's talk about the Boston Bruins back after the All-Star break. And another loss, and you're going back to pre-break, some struggles of late. Should fans be concerned?
You know, I don't think they should be concerned in terms of, I think, their worst losses. You know, I have to factor in the time, the practice, you know, sort of the general vibe around those games, those losses. Namely, the Carolina one is the end of a 3-4. You know, yesterday it's their first game Saturday it's their first game in over a week, right? So, you know, I look at those two losses and I say there are factors there that I'm not necessarily overly worried about. There are things that concern me in terms of what the team, you know, power play is not where it needs to be, in my opinion. And this team has a nasty habit when things aren't going well of overpassing. They're not selfish enough. I think that is, it's a strength and a weakness. And I think when they're struggling, I think it rears its head as a weakness because they all want to set each other up, right? But you need a shooter. You need a guy who's going to be selfish, take the shot, you know, put the team ahead, tie the game, whatever the case may be. And it seems like they have a lot of guys right now who want to set up their line mates versus, you know, doing things themselves. And I think that tends to be a problem when the puck isn't going in the net like it has been for them.
What do you think they need, and what do you expect they'll try and get at the trade deadline? Is the focus still on adding some depth of defensemen?
Yeah, you know, that's what my focus would be. I don't know if you want to rock the boat too much with this. You know, I think that the team is very tight. They're very close. They don't have many fatal flaws, in my opinion, over the course of a 7-game series. I think if you are going to add anything, it's probably another defenseman. You know, people have said you got to add a bigger defenseman, you got to add some more snarl. Well, the snarl and the bigger defenseman has to know how to play hockey, because if he's not going to be doing that, he's not going to be playing. So I look at that, and I see an opening for a seventh defenseman. I see an opening for maybe another forward who can kill penalties and take some faceoffs, particularly if he's a left-handed shot. So I look at those, and I think that's kind of where they will lean. You know, they're obviously they've been continued to be linked to Arizona defenseman Jacob Chychrun. I just don't know if they have the horses to make that work trade-wise. Arizona has a very high asking price. You're talking 2 first-round picks or, you know, a first-round pick, a prospect, and more. So it's going to take a lot to make that trade happen. And also, Arizona doesn't have to move him right now. So he has term on his contract. So that helps Arizona more than helps the Bruins. So I think because of that, they're going to go depth, but I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe try for that home run play if the price is right.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. You wrote recently about the fact that there are a number of Bruins right now who need to get some new deals done. Who's high on that priority list from your perspective?
Well, obviously, I think we know the number one is David Foster, right? I mean, probably going to be a top five player in the NHL in terms of his yearly salary. I think the way it's trending right now, he's performing so well. Right, and they really can't afford to lose him, in my opinion. So the ball is in his court in terms of getting that deal done. So Pastrnak is number one, but beyond that, I think a guy like Jeremy Swayman is really intriguing because, you know, he's come on of late. He didn't have the best game this past Saturday, but overall he's been really on the upswing since, but I would say, after that loss in Arizona. So you look at his game, you look at goalies around the league, right, and you know, I look at Spencer Knight and I look at Jay Gottinger, two guys around the same age, both highly touted prospects. And those guys signed for $4 million and $4.5 million. So is that what you're looking at with Swayman? Can you get him a little bit lower? I think you'd want to get him lower, obviously. Anybody would. But those are two guys I look at right there. And then beyond that, you know, a guy like Connor Clifton, I think, has sort of priced himself out. I don't see the Bruins having the funds to retain him based on everyone else that has to resign, because that list also includes, you know, Patrice Bergeron if he's back for another year, David Krejci if he's back for another year. You know, even guys like Nick Foligno, who, if they're going to take a haircut, you know, if he wants to play for $1.5 million, that's intriguing, I think, if you're the Bruins, considering the leadership void you may have if one of those guys, you know, Bergeron or Krejci, leaves in the offseason.
Yeah, an interesting piece. Just your thoughts at the All-Star break while the Bruins had a little bit of time off. And I wanted to bring up a couple of items from that. First of all, the improvement of Trent Frederick. What an impact that has made on this great Bruins season so far.
Yeah, you know, they were very patient with him. And he's another guy who needs a contract this summer, by the way. But, you know, he's a guy who, first-round pick, 2016, you know, they didn't do any favors, basically, by saying that his ceiling was a third-line player, but we're seeing his ceiling right now as a third-line player, and it's actually pretty good. You know, I think he's been really effective making plays with the puck on a stick, something he was not good at two seasons ago, or even last year, I thought, at times. So he's found the line. You know, he's found who he is as a hockey player. He's not just out there to cause trouble and to maybe draw a penalty or two. No, he's out there to be a hockey player, and he's been a pretty good one at that. So I think his strides have been huge because, you know, you ask him about the deadline and who they could get, and, you know, Trent Frederick playing the way he's playing really helps them in terms of, well, you don't need to get that third-line score right now because he's gelling well with Charlie Coyle. And I think that when that line is going, when that team is fully healthy and that's their third line, that is a heady combination to throw at third pairing. And I think that you've seen that this year. You know, both guys are, I think, well over 220. Both guys are about 6'3". So that's got some size, some jam, some pop. So I think that's been a really helpful third line for them when they're healthy.
Ty, you're not convinced that this season is it for Patrice Bergeron?
No, listen, he's just too good, right? And I think that he's kind of dropped hints along the way that this isn't the end. Maybe we shouldn't race to say it's the end. He did an interview with Elliot Friedman back in November where he basically said that I'm going to know when it's time. And he said, right now it's not time. And you can say that all he means this season. Well, if you can see anything in his game right now that makes you think that this is it, right, or that he's dropping off, I think you're crazy. I think he's been fantastic. He's been getting better with age. And I really do think that his reasons for going year to year contractually are about the cap as much as they're about what his own beliefs are and what he wants to do with his career. You know, if you sign a guy over 35 for a multi-year deal and they retire, that money is stuck on your book. So I don't think Bergeron wants to risk that, right? He doesn't want to risk messing up, you know, Don Sweeney's salary cap more than it already is. So, you know, that's kind of the team that he is. But there's also what Joe Thornton did and Zdeno Chara did towards the end of their times in San Jose and Boston, respectively. They would take less money every year and just have these sort of one-year bonus contracts because it allowed the team to have the best roster. And I think that's an element of what Bergeron is doing.
Obstacles for the Bruins, they are, what we thought they'd be in preseason. Clearly, as you point out, Carolina is the biggest one for the Bruins, but they're not likely to meet until maybe the third round of the playoffs. What about before that? I thought it was interesting. You think that the Bruins have maybe figured out Tampa?
Yeah, I think that you go back to sort of the midway point of last season, really since the Bruins acquired Hampus Lindholm and Linus Olmark found his game with Boston. You know, the Bruins have handled Tampa well. Now, does that translate over a seven-game series? That's hard to say because the Lightning have who I consider the best goalie in the world, Andrei Vasilevskiy, on their roster. But one thing is for sure, that Tampa Bay, you know, these back-to-back-to-back cup runs have taken their toll. They've lost pieces off their roster. They have guys playing in roles that may be above their head right now. So, you know, I think that that bodes well for the Bruins in a seven-game series. Simply put, I think the Bruins are deeper outside of the crease right now than the Lightning are. The Lightning have some high-end, incredible players, don't get me wrong, but I think depth-wise, the Bruins are finally equipped to handle Tampa Bay in a seven-game series. I don't think it'd be a five-game series loss like it has been when these teams have meeting up recently. So that's why I think they're that. You know, Carolina, I think it's just, Carolina is Boston of the Metro. They're a dominant home team, and when they get you playing their way, you're screwed. You're stuck in a blender. You're going to lose that game. So that's a team that I'm really watching this deadline, because if they make a major addition, you kind of want to hope the Bruins find a way to counterpunch it in some fashion, because that is a dang good hockey team.
Do the Stars give them a good opportunity to bounce back and get in the win column tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Stars are a great hockey team, in my opinion. I think they're probably the best in the West, if I had to say right now. Love that team. Love what they've been able to do with integrating younger players. Obviously, Jake Ottinger is a fantastic goalie. So that's another good test. And that's kind of what I thought about, you know, with this team when they were kind of slumping going into the break. I said, well, when they get out of the break, they're going to have some great tests right away. You know, Washington on the ropes. Dallas, Nashville, New York Islanders. Like, so Dallas was another test, and I think it's going to be the biggest one of this four-game jump back into action. So I'm curious to see how they come out tomorrow night. Jim Montgomery, it's his old team, so we'll see if that gives them any extra juice going into tomorrow night in Dallas. But that should be a great test for the Bruins, I think.
Absolutely. Ty Anderson of the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, great to talk with you as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, and we'll check in with you again before too long.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Ty Anderson talking Bruins on Downtown.